You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If the blood-thinning drug Xarelto cause you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO, Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The players are back, and again, for those of you wondering about these off-season workout program, it's phase one of three. It's focused on strength and conditioning. No helmets, no footballs, no playing football, no coaches, position coaches in the weight room. It's just about getting your body back in shape, getting back with your guys, getting your camaraderie back, etc. The players will be addressing the media tomorrow. Now, you can get your playbook today, right?
I would think so. Absolutely, yes.
So this would be the first time for the offense to get John DeFilippo's playbook today.
Correct.
So that's a big thing.
It definitely is a big thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if John DeFilippo is spending a little bit more time, you know, outside of his office to have the ability to have guys walk by, ask him questions, him ask them questions, and, you know, also to meet a lot of the guys. You can't say that John DeFilippo and, you know, the other potentially 30 to 40 guys that are on the offensive side of the football have met him. Some have strategically have, you know, throughout the offseason been here to meet him or have come in for an appearance or something having to do with the uniform reveal and met John DeFilippo. So they're all going to get to know each other, and that's what this is about. Ease your way back into football a little bit later than the old CBA used to be, as I've stated earlier in our first segment. But all in all, it's a great day, and you just want to start getting these guys. We are all creatures of habit, and the last 2.5 months they've been able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, eat whatever they want, stay out as late as they want, spend their money on what they want. They can still do that, but now the off-season workouts are going to require them to not require them, but help them to get into better shape. They'll be wanting to go to bed sooner and start putting the right things in their body as they continue to start taking baby steps towards priming their body for training camp in August.
Yeah, and Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer here at ClevelandBrowns.com, just posted an article about the key dates to know for the Browns, and here they are. Phase one of the offseason workout program, that's April 20th to the 24th, began today, and then April 27th to May 1st. Teams are permitted to work the players in the facility for 4 hours per day, 4 days per week. On-field activities are to only include strength and conditioning and rehab, while strength and conditioning and medical staff are the only coaches permitted to monitor. Phase two, May 4th to the 8th, May 11th to the 15th, May 18th to the 22nd. Individual instruction and drills for the group are allowed, and all coaches are permitted to monitor, but there is no offense versus defense. Now, the rookie minicamp comes May 8th to the 10th. Players who are drafted or signed as free agents out of college go through workouts during the weekend after the 2015 draft. Phase 3, the OTAs, May 26th to 29th, June 1st to 4th, June 8th to 12th. These are more familiar known as OTAs, include 10 total gatherings of the players and coaches. Contact is still prohibited, but players are able to go through 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills. The sessions are permitted to be up to 6 hours. And then you finally have the veteran mandatory minicamp, June 16th to 18th, the first and only time before training camp where attendance is required. 10 hours per day is the maximum work time for the players and has to occur between 7 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. Players are to report 1 day before it begins. Then they are off from June 18th until training camp starts at the end of July.
That vet minicamp, as you said, mandatory. That's the mini camp that a lot of our listeners, if you follow any analyst or any site to follow for all NFL news, though, that's the one that you see guys getting fined at when they're holding out for a contract. They, you know, or haven't been a part of off-season workouts. That's the one that I think it's like $10,000 a day or $10,000 a practice, maybe like $19,000 a day for missing those practices. And in most cases, that's built into their bonus when they actually do finally come to terms. But it's an exciting time. And to be very honest with you, as you were laying it out, I was writing it down. And I know we received an email about it because this is all still very new to me too. This is that, you know, new CBA, something I've never been under contract at any point as a part of the new CBA because the lockout happened right after the Super Bowl. And at first glance, to me, it's a little soft, you know, from the way that my off seasons had gone, again, starting in March, going all the way through into training camp. Yes, you get time off, but it wasn't definitely laid out in phase one and phase two and phase three, but it was just kind of like you got when you needed to be here and you just showed up and took part in everything.
216-578-0850. Join us today. Talk about the return. We can get into everything. Let's start with Aaron in Louisville. Aaron, welcome to the show.
First-time caller. I love the show.
Appreciate awesome, it. Thank Aaron. You Thank for you. Calling up, man.
I had a question about the 12 and 19 pick.
Okay.
Do they take a big three wide receiver at number 12, or do they go defense to stop the run?
I think that, to me, the first three picks, you got a defensive tackle or a nose tackle, you've got an edge rusher, and you've got a wide receiver. I don't care what necessarily the order is of those three. I'd like to get that big receiver at 12. I'm fine with it. But, you know, we got to just see how it all plays out. But that's something that I think is a very important and very good thing to do.
I'll throw this out for you. If one of the big three is not there, is Perriman a guy that you would take at 12 and feel happy?
I'd take Doriel Green Beckham. And now that all these articles are coming out about what a crazy life he's had and his upbringing and everything that he's had to go through, he's a guy to me that...
Even at 12?
I think he's the best receiver in the draft, so I would, but I don't think you have
to. But analysts
I think you
have
can
him going
him
in the
19.
Second round.
Some do. Some think he goes 18 to Kansas City.
Yeah. Okay.
Doriel Green Beckham, to me, is the best receiver in the draft, so that's why I would want to get
gotcha.
Him. Yes, so that's why I
I'm
kind of
big three or bust at 12.
Wide receiver?
Yeah, wide receiver. The otherwise, I think you go Danny Shelton or the best pass rusher on your board.
Okay.
If you have him outranking Danny Shelton.
I think that if you got – right, you go with who you – exactly. Whether it's a Shane Ray, whatever direction
Bud
you
Dupree.
Decide to go there. Bud Dupree, how they view him. Danny Shelton is a guy that's going to bring a lot to this team, I think, obviously, and a lot to this defense. I think that he fills an immediate need for this team. So it'll be interesting to see if he's there at 12, if that's the pick. Some people now think he's going to be there at 19. Other people think there's no way that he even makes it to 12.
Yeah. And that's why –
That's why I just
the draft
want the draft
is the
to be
most
here.
Amazing night in football.
The draft needs to get here. 216-578-0850 here on this. And people are saying, what about a quarterback? Wide receiver and defense tackle don't solve quarterback. There's not going to be a quarterback, Grillmaster AC, that's available to you at 12 that's worth drafting. Unless Mariota falls. And if he falls, why not take a shot on him?
But now, again,
or
the buzz over the weekend is that Mariota, you know, is gaining ground on Winston to the fact where it's a pick'em. Who likes them best? And I know Pro Football Talk, my go-to for NFL news, had a great article about two Hall of Fame general managers, Bill Polian and Ron Wolf. Bill Polian, of course, attached to the Panthers and the Indianapolis Colts in drafting Peyton Manning.
Sure.
And then Ron Wolf in, you know, building a Packers organization into what it is today, you know, signing Reggie White on a free agent deal out of Philadelphia. They both go in, and they're split right down the middle. Polian likes the sure thing, the safer bet in Mariota. And then Ron Wolf absolutely loves everything about Jameis Winston because he is so pro-ready.
He is, yes, because he is pro-ready. And he plays that offense. He's like being compared to Big Ben Roethlisberger. Let's go to Dave in Zor now. Dave, welcome to CBD.
How you guys doing today?
Good man.
How are you?
I know this isn't really glamorous to talk about, but we got to get that place kicker or field goal kicker situation straightened out. I heard there's a couple of real good ones coming out of college this year.
There are some good kickers. What you didn't like what Garrett Hartley did at the end of last year?
I'm just so used to, I guess I'm spoiled with Phil Dawson. I mean, he was Mr. Automatic. I mean, I'd like to get someone, you know, a high caliber kicker because I think that cost us actually a few games last year.
I think there are people a lot smarter than I have who have done a lot of serious hardcore analytic studies on the value of a kicker and having the best kicker in the league versus the worst kicker, and it's like a half a game.
Okay.
So it seems like a big deal. It turns out, statistically speaking, it is not a huge deal. And when you do look, though, last year for the Browns, when you look at, you know, in came Garrett Hartley. He made every field goal he attempted. He was 3 for 3 on the year. So I thought he kicked well for the Saints back. He's a Super Bowl winning kicker.
Yes, he is.
I think he's fine. It's a place where you can always have competition. I don't think it's a hard position to have competition on. So
no.
I'm fine with getting competition there. But it's not that big of a deal to me, the kicker. I think you got a lot of other problems before you get to the kicker.
I agree. And I think that also, too, there's going to be plenty of teams that are creating competition at the kicker position that you can grab at a certain point in the season, whether it's after training camp, after mini camp, whatever, without having to use an asset like a draft pick, unless there's a guy out there that's a Sebastian Janikowski kind of guy that you feel like we're not going to take a first round kicker, but you have to go out and get, because he's going to be, you know, your long term answer at kicker for the next 5 to 10 years. But the one thing that I'd like to, like, you know, we can touch upon as we get back to our callers at 216-578-0850 is, I know a kicker, if the value's only a half of game, and I know that a kicker can win or lose you football games, I'm excited about our red zone efficiency being that much better, that we don't have to rely on our kicker to bail us out consistently, and the Cleveland Browns' ability to score touchdowns and not settle for field goals. Because I would say, following the Browns and statistically looking at their data, they've lost a ton of football games simply because they get down there and can't score. And you're forcing a kicker to have to go 3 for 3, 3 for 4, 4 for 4 throughout, you know, a football game, when you've got to start converting those into touchdowns. We've lost more football games than we've won.
Yes, you've got to score touchdowns. Steve Young always says field goals are the quickest way to lose a football game. You need to score touchdowns in order to win. Keep the phone calls coming. 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Let's go to Jeff in Cleveland now. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I wanted to comment. Well, you was talking about Beckham. One of you guys said that you thought was the best receiver in the draft.
Yep.
Yeah, where is he from? He's not the West Virginia kid, is he?
No, that's Kevin White. Dorial Green Beckham was at Missouri, had to leave school.
Oh, the guy who had the marijuana problem, and then they had to kick him off the team or whatever?
He had a variety of issues, but yes, he had some off-the-field issues, ended up transferring to Oklahoma.
I still like Gordon, and I don't want to give up on Gordon. I know he's not with the team, but I'm not giving up on Gordon until the league says he can't play. But I think the Browns, that's too risky of a play. I want Cooper because when he had the kid to school and would play with Cincinnati, you know, he was okay.
I like Amari Cooper. I just don't think there's any way he's there at 12.
There's no way. I've been seeing some drafts where he does fall, but so you're saying no.
If he does, that's great. I'd be fine with it, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
You wouldn't
no,
up
not
him.
For a receiver, no.
Okay. I was just wondering, because to me, especially with the quarterback he had last year, who I think is terrible, if you don't have a great quarterback throwing you the ball, and as good as he did with a bad quarterback, I think it would help our red zone offense, which you were just talking about.
Yeah, you got to have a big guy. That's what hopefully Dwayne Bowe's going to help with. Brian Hartline should help with that. You hope that Rob Housler helps as well. I do think that, you know, getting that receiver is super important. Whether it happens at 12, 19, 43, I do think adding a young, talented, explosive playmaker wide receiver is huge for this team.
Oh, it definitely is. And I think the most concrete thing that we have in place right this second that will help us convert less field goals and more touchdowns is our offensive line. The fact that they're going to be healthy. And Isaiah Crowell, we'd love to run it in and not have to throw it in and be dominant the way that I know Coach Pettine and Ray Farmer are building this football team. But when you do get down there, and they've addressed this thus far via free agency, that's why a Beckham, a Perriman, a Jalen Strong, those types of why Amari Cooper and Kevin White are going to be so great as pros is you need a big body down in the red zone that can win a one-on-one battle. And then also, too, is you forget, we got Andrew Hawkins now back in his appropriate spot as the number three receiver, running those shake routes, running those in and out routes versus nickelbacks, safeties, and inside linebackers. So things are setting themselves up well, but you got to win the one-on-one battles, and you got to have the big receivers that can go up and make plays down in the red zone.
That's what the game is evolving to. And that Dorial Green Beckham is 6'5", by the way.
Throw it up.
230.
Go get it
like Calvin Johnson. Let's go to Terrence in Bowling Green now. Terrence, welcome to CBD.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Good,
what's
man.
Going on, man? Love the show.
Thank you
very much.
Awesome stuff. All right, I want to comment on something I haven't heard many people talk about yet, and that's the idea of going in all offense for the first three picks. You know, we've had a good defense. I don't feel like we've ever lost a game because we haven't lost a ton of games because we're like, our defense was horrible. I'm like, let's go and get a receiver, the first pick. Let's pick up that offensive lineman from Florida State with the second pick.
Cam Irving.
Let's go tight end with the third pick. And then start throwing in some of your defensive things after that. But right now I'm like, we need to score points, and we have a good defense. People forget that the reason our defense was so beat up against the run last year is because
they're on the field a lot.
They're on the field a lot, and every guy on our line was injured. I think Phil Taylor played like five games. Hughes played like five games. So those guys are going to be back and healthy. You can backfill. Don't worry about the D-line as much. I think that game against Cincinnati where Phil Taylor played, he just dominated that first game. So all that to say, I'm all about going offense. Let's go turn the offensive gears around. And but I know that's probably never going to happen since Benton's a D-man, but...
I do.
What do you guys think about that?
I'm fine with it. I think the offense is where you need the most help. Now, the good news is you did a good job of bringing in offensive talent and free agency in Bo and in Hartline and in Hausler. So you have made some you've addressed that there. I do think you need to address it in the draft, and I think there is good offensive depth as this draft goes on. Also, there is good edge rusher depth in this draft as it goes on. So there are a lot of ways to approach this for the Browns, which is good because they don't have so many blatant needs. I mean, we walk through the starting lineup on each side, and you say, okay. Do you need some depth somewhere? Would you like to get some playmakers somewhere? Yes, but for the most part, you can go into the season with what you have right now. The good news is you are going to have the opportunity to add 10 guys also.
Right, yeah, and competition will bring out the best. You know, draft and accumulate as much talent as possible. You want to have your killers. You want to have your tough guys. Throw them out on their football field along with their scheme and let them kill each other. And the ones that are left standing are the guys that will play on Sundays.
All right. When we come back, we're going to continue things here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. We'll get some sound from what Dante Whitten or Carlos Dansby, Joe Thomas had to say about Johnny Manziel made his return to the team, to the building today, along with everybody here, everybody but Tashawn Gibson in attendance for the Browns as they begin phase one of their offseason workout program. Still to come, Dan Shanka, the general manager and national scout for Our Lads Scouting Service. He comes our way at 2. We can talk to him about the receivers, talk to him about the D-line, what he thinks the Browns should do here in this upcoming draft. Also, Tim Tebow back in the NFL. What do you guys think about that? Keep the phone lines coming. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What happiness?